Welcome to Scripture, Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Murat. This is our 14th study in the book of Exodus. We come today to chapter 17, verse 1. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped in Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. It was a sandy desert place, and that's why there was no water. But God was leading them from place to place. They had the cloud and the pillar of fire to prove it. Verse 2, therefore, the people contended with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." So Moses said to them, "Why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord?" Moses did not lead them out there to where they were. God did. They are talking as if Moses is keeping water from them and that he is doing it on purpose or something. And they are not complaining about Moses. They are complaining about the sovereign God. Verse 3, and the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" They suggest that Moses had this whole thing planned out. You know, he pulled off the 10 plagues and got Pharaoh to release the Hebrews so that he could watch them die of thirst out in the desert. And of course their minds are just running wild with foolish thoughts. They need to reel their minds back into reality. 4. So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." Moses prayed, because that's the best thing to do when you feel like you've done your best, but it is not good enough. Verse 5, and the Lord said to Moses, "Go on before the people, and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river, and go." Moses is to walk out in front of these people. And you know what? It takes faith to walk out in front of 2 million people who are talking about stoning you. The normal reaction would be to go into hiding. Verse 6, "Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And this was no little trickle either. It must have been a river, because it quenched the thirst of 2 million people and all their livestock. 7. So he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the contention of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" They tempted the Lord with their complaining. They were insulting the goodness of the God who had done so much for them already. Verse 8, now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. The Israelites fought against Moses and God, and now the Amalekites fight against them. You know, war against foreign enemies is sometimes God's punishment on a nation who is warring against God at home. Look at verse 9. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose us some men to go out, fight with Amalek. Today or tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." Israel establishes a draft. Joshua is in charge of the army, and they are commanded to fight the enemy. You know, when Egypt attacked Israel, they were told to stand still and see the salvation of God. It would be God's deliverance this time also, only this time the command is to fight. 10. So Joshua did as Moses said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. According to some Jewish writers, Hur is Moses' brother-in-law, the husband of his sister Miriam. Verse 11. And so it was, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. And since lifting hands was a standard form of prayer, that's what Moses must have been doing. When he prayed, the battle went well. When he stopped, they started to lose. 12. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. God is teaching us the real value of prayer here. Prayer is worth doing even when we are tired. Prayer is worth doing even when we are not the sharpest. Those are the times when our prayers really become the sacrifice of prayer. Still worth doing. Verse 13, so Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. The Israeli army was undisciplined, poorly trained, except trained for slavery. But they won by God's grace. Verse 14, then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. God says, make a written record of this victory. It's a good idea to write down answers to prayers and special blessings from God. Verse 15, and Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner. Joshua was a good man, but there was no statue to Joshua, the war hero. They built an altar to God. God did the work. God deserved the credit. 16, for he said, because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. When God says he is at war with the Amaleks forever, he is saying, they are no good, so I do not want my people to make a treaty with them ever. Verse 1 of chapter 18. And Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel his people, that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Jethro, remember, is a Midianite. He was not delivered from slavery, and he will not be given the promised land. However, he rejoices with Israel over the great things that God has done for them. You know, if a person cannot be happy over the happiness of others, then they are too self-centered. 2. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, with her two sons, of whom the name of one was Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a foreign land, and the name of the other was Eleazar, for he said, the God of my father was my help, and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness, where he was encamped at the mountain of God. Now he had said to Moses, I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons with her. Way back when Moses was first going to Egypt, God nearly killed him for putting his wife before the Lord. Moses must have sent her and their sons back home at that point. But now, with the mission to Egypt over, her father escorts Moses' wife and their two sons back to Moses. Verse 7. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, bowed down and kissed him, and they asked each other about their well-being, and they went into the tent. Now, I do not want to read too much into this, but notice how it does not say Moses greeted his wife. Later on, we will see him being married to someone else as well, and you know, someone his sister Miriam did not approve of. Moses, his first marriage was bad, and his family did not approve of his second marriage. He did not have a very good family life, I don't believe at all. It's a good thing Moses had God. Verse 8. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had come upon them on the way, and how the Lord had delivered them. And so they get together and they talk about God. And verse 9, then Jethro rejoiced for all the good which the Lord had done for Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. While the Israelites murmured against God, here is a Midianite, Jethro, who rejoices over the goodness God has shown the Israelites. Jethro knew better than them just how good they had it. 10. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord, who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and who has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Jethro recognizes God's greatness and praises him for blessing the Hebrews. Sometimes it takes an objective outsider to remind us just how good God has been to us. Verse 11. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods, for in the very thing in which they behaved proudly, he was above them. Jethro knew it before, but he knows it even better now. God is God. He is greater than all pretend gods. Verse 12. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and other sacrifices to offer to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. And so here you see friends and relatives enjoying themselves together. They're having a feast, and God is a part of the celebration. 13. And so it was on the next day that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. The people came to Moses whenever there was a controversy, and he used the word of God to settle the matter. The problem was there were 2 million people, and Moses is only one man. 14. So when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, what is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you from morning until evening? Moses was trying to do too much. It was bad for him, it was bad for the people, and it was bad for the cause of justice. Verse 15. And Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a difficulty, they come to me, and I judge between one and the other, and I make known the statutes of God and his laws. Well, that's a good answer. Moses settled the dispute because he knew the Lord, and he knew the word of God. 17. So Moses' father-in-law said to him, the thing that you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out, for this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. Moses' heart was right, but his method was wrong. And Jethro saw it, and he spoke up. 19. Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people, so that you may bring the difficulties to God. And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws, and show them the way in which they must walk, and the work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of ten. Jethro's advice? Set up a judicial system, a system that has four levels. The majority of cases can be settled at the lowest level. If the case is too tough, they can take it to the second level and so on. If it cannot be settled at any level, well, then bring it to Moses. Moses will get a decision directly from God. Well, very good counsel. Verse 22, and let them judge the people at all times. Then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you. Verse 23, if you do this thing, and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all this people will also go to their place in peace. This seemed like a great plan to Jethro, but notice how he tells Moses to check it out with God before he goes with it. Anyone who insists that you do things their way without allowing you the opportunity to pray about it is acting like a fool, and they are forgetting that they are just a poor, pitiful sinner, not Almighty God. We'll pick up our study in verse 24 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.